a co-host, and Lorraine Hoyt sitting across from me is our other co-host. And our special guest today is... Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Tana Hartman Thorne. So, at the moment, I think we're going to be doing a little bit more organizing here, so I'll cut back to some more of Joan Armatrading.
Telling you, baby, it comes both ways. Believe me,
everybody told me it would never work out. Now living so far apart, and like a fool, I thought we always were dividing the continent, but not a break my heart, 'cause I was so in.
We're back. I think we're organized, and this is Dick Paddock with Women's International League for Peace and Freedom show, and we'll be talking directly with Tana Hartman.
Yes, we are. Okay. Sounds okay?
Technically? I don't think my mic's on. Isn't it on?
It's on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tana, welcome to the Wolf Wake Up Call.
Hi, everybody.
Tana is a Wolf sister and a dear friend, and she has her own show on Thursdays at 2 o'clock, and we're so glad she made time to come to our Wake Up Call,
But now I am going to expect a quid pro quo. You have to come on mine. Yeah?
Okay, you got it. You got it. Okay. Good. All right. Well, Tom, I know that you've been working on many things, but maybe we'll start off with the recent pressing issue that we've all been doing some work with, and that is the TPP.
Right.
And so for listeners who've been out of any kind of loop, who don't know what the TPP is, Tana is now going to let you know.
Well, the TPP it's billed as a trade agreement, but that is, as Lori Hoyt calls it, that's its brand. It has very little to do about what it really is. In fact, less than, or maybe about 20% of the 29 chapters have anything to do with trade as we think of it.
And chapters are chapters in the paper.
Chapters in this agreement. This is a very large agreement between 12 countries: Australia, Brunei, Canada, Chile, Japan, Malaysia, Mexico, New Zealand, Peru, Singapore, Vietnam, and the United States.
Oh, Mexico's
now,
in that one too?
Yes, Mexico's signed on, Canada's signed on. This is also a docking agreement, which means other countries can just decide they want to dock into it, and then they are bound by it.
So NAFTA, Canada and Mexico was the first of those awful agreements.
We've had something like 18 trade agreements.
And they're going to get in on this one, too. Boy, they really like their trade agreements just like we do.
But the thing is, it's not we. It's not the people. These are corporations. These are agreements between corporations. There are some 600 official trade advisors. These are corporations. They have access.
600.
And until very recently, there is a rumor that they are going to allow some NGOs into the process, but that hasn't been confirmed, I haven't seen it yet. And right now, it's all corporations, corporate advisors, and the U.S. Trade Representative, who is basically, I hate to say it, but serves the corporations.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you hate to say it? It's true.
Yeah. A lot of people think that's too much of a, you know, toward a conspiracy theory. But in fact, I think we've been seeing for the past 200 years, we have seen our civil and human rights gradually eroded legally and judicially by corporations who have. They have known what they were doing, and they have looked very carefully and had the money to do it. And we now have an elite that is so extremely wealthy that I think a decade ago it was more than 50%, some 51% of the world's largest economies were corporations. That now is up to 70-some percent.
Wow, that's...
Yeah.
I knew there was a few of them, but wait a minute. That really takes my breath away.
No, the people who have the most money in the world are corporations now, and they have been working
in our lifetimes. But they have larger amounts of the economy than a lot of countries.
Yes. And this trade agreement represents, in fact, 40% of the global GDP, which is one of the things about it that it is so... That makes it so powerful because the number, it's not that any of these countries are particularly powerful or large, but it is they have the economic power to give the United States a foothold there. And when I say the United States in this case, I'm going to say the United States corporations, multinational corporations that are based or have a base here in the United States.
Yeah.
Because this is one of the most troubling things about this agreement is the rights that it gives to corporations.
Well, and I guess what people have to think, you know, these may be based in the United States, but these are not corporations that have any allegiance or care about this country. You know, they just want to use some of our resources, but they are, if they're multinational, they'll just make their money any way and wherever they can.
Right. And profits.
Profits, under law,
dividends for its shareholders are what a corporation is charged with protecting.
Yeah.
You know, and enhancing. And we now have reached the point where it has become the god of our whole corporate capitalist system.
Yeah.
And anything that gets in its way is considered an illegal trade distortion. But that applies only to the money that is used for services or perhaps small business and small farming. The only ones who benefit under this, like we've seen with NAFTA,
mm-hmm.
you know, has been large corporations.
So these trade agreements don't help small businesses at all. It just makes it harder for them to even get a foothold or to keep their little business going. I mean, I'm old enough to remember back when supermarkets were kind of a relatively new thing, you know, and pricing out all the small little mom and pop stores.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have now been cannibalizing themselves, and now they have the big box ones, like Walmart or whatever, you know. So they, bigness, it's sort of like cancer, you know, the bigger.
It is. It is. It's this belief in growth, and our system has been completely infected by it. This belief that more and more, it's more, bigger, better, ostensibly better, but it's not. Often the costs are enormous, and under this model, all the costs of doing business or the primary costs of doing business, except for shareholder dividends, is externalized. That means you get somebody else to pay for it, and in most cases, it's the taxpayers, so that they don't clean up their toxic waste
or Mother Nature,
or they don't. The planet. But if it's going to get cleaned up, it's going to be us who has to pay for it.
Yeah.
And this is not a new model. It is the TPP is the latest incarnation of a set of principles that came into being with the WTO.
That's the word, World Trade
the
Organization.
The World Trade, right, good point. The World Trade Organization. Under the World Trade Organization, it's 18 agreements that set rules that every signatory nation has to conform their domestic policies to. And their principles, basic principles, are privatize and commodify, and that means everything from our water and public services to our genetic material, our food, our land. Right? Deregulate, which means limit the role of government and eliminate what they call trade barriers, which means any environmental regulations that makes them responsible for cleaning up, any food safety regulations, the labeling. We've seen the labeling. They've ruled against the United States, and so Obama basically did away with the cool labeling, the country of origin labeling. We're not going, and they're doing the same with GMOs. And one of the big corporations here who stands to benefit, of course, is Monsanto.
Oh, boy.
And after the regulation, then what they really want to do is create this global, they call it a level playing field, but it's global standards that are compliant with their needs. And it means that our environmental, our public health protections, our inspection standards, public interest regulations, all of that would be compelled to yield to corporate investor interests and profits. Anything that interferes with their expected profits, not even realized profits, their expected profits has to be overturned, eliminated, the country that is found guilty has to pay an enormous amount, has to pay the legal costs. And we've already seen something like, I think it's 440, I better check that anyway, but a lot of money that has gone to pay corporations because of laws that they want overturned. And then the laws are overturned too, but they get all their costs paid.
That's called that investor or something?
Investor state dispute settlement is the thing.
Investor state dispute settlement. Now that was also in NAFTA, because I remember when
Chapter 11,
mm-hmm. when Canada was suing the state of California over an additive in the gasoline that California had found was a cancer-causing
carcinogenic.
So they had made an environmental regulation that you could not sell it in California. Canada sued California, and this is they say for losing future earnings, what they would have earned. It's even like in the future, not just. And I'm not sure if they won that or not, but it goes to not a regular court. It goes to a special court with lawyers picked by corporations, three lawyers.
That's right. The three lawyers rotate on and off as the judges, basically, on this tribunal. And they otherwise are representing. They may represent the defendant or the or the plaintiff, the corporation or the nation.
But it's secret.
But typically,
it's secret.
It's secret. It's done in secret. It is binding. There is no appeal.
And this
circumvents national courts. This is outside of the national court system. This is the creation of a global national judicial structure.
So that's what's important for us to wrap our heads around, because it's not it undoes any sense of sovereignty. I mean, so many people in this country, they're super patriotic when it comes to want to make war, but this is something where these corporations can run roughshod over the rights.
Well, they stand to make money, and war. Halliburton's one of the biggest of these. Halliburton's you know, making a killing, literally, in every way.
In every war. So we've had that with NAFTA, but right now this is more and more countries. So there'll be, and from what I read recently, that was not used too often, this suing for these environmental regulations. It was used, but not tremendously often. But in the last 3 or 4 years, it has picked up how much is being used. And so people who used to say, don't worry about it, they'll only do this once in a while, it's now becoming much more of a standard practice.
Yes, much more prevalent. And they're lining up, I think, to sue if the
yes.
once the. These tribunals, as you said, Lori, are three corporate lawyers, and they're unaccountable to any government or any electorate. They rotate between suing the governments for the corporations and acting as judges. They're not bound by precedent, and there's no appeal mechanism. And when a tribunal rules in favor of the foreign investor, which it has done most of the time, the government has to hand the corporation an amount of taxpayer money that is decided by the tribunal. So the tribunals have already ordered governments to pay more than $3.5 billion in investor state cases under existing U.S. agreements.
Under the ones, but this is before
this includes
we
payments
get
over toxic bans, land use policies, forestry rules, and other things. But more than $14.7 billion remains pending.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And even when governments win, they often have to pay the tribunal's costs and legal fees. The corporations don't have to pay that. And that averages about $8 to $10 million a case.
Even if they win,
why doesn't the corporation? Because
they're
the guys writing the rules,
Oh, okay.
Lori.
All right.
They're the ones writing these rules.
In a normal court, that could be considered a frivolous lawsuit. You know,
and thrown out of court.
But they have every reason then to keep on with it because they can't lose.
They can't lose. It's exactly right. These foreign investor privileges provide the foreign firms with greater rights than those. It elevates corporations to standing, legal standing, with nation states.
No, they're even higher than nation states.
No, not under this, technically.
Technically, but in reality.
No, I mean, what the effect is a different thing. But actually, right. what they are aiming for, what they are calling it, is that they achieve standing with nation states.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the important thing. Because of their wealth, that gives them ultimately greater power.
Right.
We know that. But that's mm-hmm. not technically what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, they have the right not to have their expectations frustrated by a change in government policy. What does that sound like to you? They have their expectations. We don't have a right to have our clean air, our clean water, to have our, you know.
Yeah,
but they have a right
to have any expectations.
The analogy
is reminding me of, and I don't know why I'm smiling because it's absolutely horrible, but I'm trying not to cry, is that United decision where it emphasized how corporations are people.
Yeah.
Now this is setting into precedent in law that corporations are not only people, but at the same time they're also nation states.
Yes.
they have sovereignty.
It.
You know, that they can have the same standing as a nation state. So they're having it both ways. Somehow we got to get some good slogans. I don't think most people, because it is complicated, most people have no idea how bad it is.
Yeah, and it is complicated, and these things, I mean, my information comes from a number of sources, but primarily I would say the best one, if you want to go and get a lot of information,
Public
is the
Citizen.
Public Citizen. Yeah, and globaltradewatch.org.
Yes.
You go, and you can get a lot of information there, but Food and Water Watch, whom I'll be interviewing Renee Maas next week on the 20th, or is that the following week? But anyway, on the 20th, about that, they're very involved. The Communication Workers of America are also involved to fight this. And a number of other groups. People are beginning to wake up to what's happening here because it's so blatant. There seems to be this sense that you can't stop us anymore, so we'll do whatever we want. And they're really rather brazen about it. And part of it is they are even creating in this, there is a section that could give them the power to create their own enforcement mechanisms, their own police and militia to enforce these agreements if a government doesn't, won't. So what they're creating, it's just like one of the things that really disturbed me is just hearing on the news that there is this, the United Arab Emirates or something is somehow involved in Saudi Arabia and the United States with giving, you know, support, advice and support to create a military and to, it's basically creating a permanent state of war in the Middle East. You know, they're setting it up, and they've been working toward it. It's gone, but this is setting up the mechanism to actually do that, to make a permanent state of war, right? And if, we're silly if we think that that's not going to affect us, too, that all of this is part of a pattern in which corporations have the power now, the money and the power to protect themselves in ways, to protect their profits, and that the wealth, the inequality that we're seeing, it may be just the beginning.
So anytime if somebody's disputing some of this information, you know, the proof of the pudding, you just have to look at the increasing inequality that even mainstream media is talking about. It used to be you would just only a few years ago that inequality was talked about in the progressive press, not really, but when I started seeing it on the NewsHour, on PBS, when you start seeing it in your regular newspaper, then you know that the information is finally getting out, and which won't surprise most people because they'll know that their wages have been stagnant. But they, a lot of times people blame themselves. They think, oh, it's just me.
Yeah.
You know, and when you find out that it's everybody, I mean, you just have to look at the enthusiasm that Bernie Sanders
is eliciting.
Yes, thousands of people showing up, and you can hardly get people out for anything these days with the TV, you know, entrancing us all, and the enthusiasm because he's laying it out what we've just been coming to grips with in the last few years, understanding that mainstream America is finally getting to hear what's going on or get the information. But, of course, if they're listening to Fox News.
That's right.
And some people can only get that. There's great portions of this country.
That can only get it?
Yeah. Wow. If you're going at driving out west, and I haven't, but I've heard this from people who have, the only radio stations you can get are these
Clear Channel
or something, or the only the TV news is Fox. I mean, they do not have the richness that we have with diversity and just like our radio show here.
Media monopoly, the corporate media. Well, we've known for some time that we lost anything like a real, you know, public interest media.
Yeah.
Except for little stations like this. And by the way, we want to put in a plug for WCOM.
Yes, we do.
For underwriting. And you can go and support this station, an all-volunteer station. Nobody gets paid here. And everybody puts in their time and effort for free. And it's one of the few places where you can go as a citizen and have your voice heard. And you can come here and learn to make a radio show, too.
Yes, they will teach you how.
They will teach you how, and it's good training, too, by professionals. But go to WCOM.org, or you can click on the right at the top of the page.
It's WCOMFM.org.
FM.org, sorry. WCOMFM.org. Thank you, Dick. And you can donate right there, or you can do it by PayPal. But it's really important. You can make a monthly donation or support, underwrite a particular show like this one, the Wilf Wake Up Call, which is a great way. This is a place where we can talk about these things and we can talk about them openly without having to temper ourselves and watch what we say for fear
until some giant corporation comes and sues us.
Yeah, well, that I don't think they're noticing us yet. But what we're just trying to do is get the word out to people like us.
All it takes is one station.
Well, there's no reason not to do it, though.
Station somewhere being sued, and the government will clamp down on all of us because the government doesn't want to have to pay.
But it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
So we're not going to go there because that's one thing you have to decide early on. You can't live your life in fear. And yeah. we still can claim free speech in this country, and there'll be a lot of people to support us if they I think we're too small, too much under the radar, and if something bad happens, we'll deal with it then. But I'm not going to worry about it, you know.
Yes.
You know, oh, yeah. just like belonging to WILF, it's a radical organization. You know, yeah. they probably have files on all of us. But
and Dick and I know each other well enough. We spend enough time together that he knows that I get these really paranoid. My son goes, oh, boy, Mom's light today. <You know? laughs> But I get these really almost paranoid, you know, obsessions over what's happening. I look at just looking at what's happening in the Middle East today or listening to anything, you know, in politics or listening to Donald Trump, God help me. You know, then I just go into these paroxysms of this is what's happening because I was trained as an historian and I was trained to look at how these things fit together, what kind of a pattern, you know, larger pattern they're creating. And what I see is what is the creation of a global corporate monopoly, a system of governance of, by, and for the corporations. And they are putting in the infrastructure for that. And if we don't wake up and say, hey, wait a minute, you know, who gets to decide our future? Who gets to decide whether our children are educated? Who gets to decide whether we have clean water? Who gets to decide whether we have affordable health care or not? Do we have that right? You know, and that's not a conversation they want to have.
Okay, but I tend to be on the optimistic side.
Well, no, that, but where I was going someplace else with this. Yeah, okay. I mean, I understand this. I get yeah. this. Can but we, I also believe if we don't actually act as if we have these rights
right.
and go ahead and move and use them and fight for them,
right.
we will lose them. I mean, yeah. they've effectively shut us up if we
and
cave.
And the other thing with all where it looked like TPP, it was maybe going to be a lost cause. The president got... under a lot of pressure, he got the fast track legislation mm-hmm. through, which was so upsetting. And so that's one of the things I'm so upset with the president. I can't understand why he wants this on his legacy. However, there's how many countries involved? 12 countries, and some of them are now balking.
Well, New Zealand in particular, yeah. just last
Good.
Week.
We need to have a
Thank
station
you.
A break.
Okay.
We're going to take a station break, and we're going to come back with the, but we're going to have to roll up our sleeves and really work hard to make this hope a reality. Okay, Dick, station break.
This is WCOM LP, Chapel Hill and Carrboro, 103.5 on your FM dial, or... streamed from WCOMFM.org. And we invite you to take that opportunity. This is, as I said, WCOMLP, an all-volunteer.
An LP means low power.
Low power,
so
yes.
So that's why you may, to get us where without too much static, you may want to stream us live.
Right. You may want to, if you have a computer connected to the internet, you can go to WCOM-FM and get our show live when we're on the air.
But I can get it on my radio. I live about a mile and a half from here. I can get it, and it's not that good a radio. And I can get it in my car, driving even as far as the hospital from Carrboro. Mm-hmm.
I can get it as far as Carrboro Plaza in my car.
And even yeah. Yes, I can get it even a little beyond that. So you can... get it, but if it depends on the trees in your yard, the trees will make a difference with a low power station. So just know you'll always can stream WCOM FM live.
Okay, and don't forget our underwriter.
We have an underwriter,
which is Internationalist Bookstore,
and we've had them from the beginning. They're our loyal underwriters.
That's right, and we're so delighted to have them. They're right.
They moved closer. They like us so much.
They
moved in the neighborhood.
Moved over to Lloyd Street here in Carrboro.
Yes.
And so we encourage you to go by and see the alternative literature that supports the views that we have many times here on the radio station.
Many of our views.
Right. I have a short announcement I want to make.
And I have one too, so you go first.
For the benefit of those... three people, give or take, who live in Chatham County, can in the sound of my voice, right this minute, in the courthouse,
yes,
at in Pittsboro, the old original historic courthouse,
beautiful courthouse,
yes, they are having a meeting on the coal dust regulations. Starting in at 5 o'clock, they were taking registration for people who wanted to speak. So if you're real quick, you can get down there and get your name on the list of people to want to speak, if you want to speak. And then there will be, beginning at 6 o'clock, there will be a meeting to discuss this draft regulation of coal dust in Chatham County.
So this is another way for citizens to come out to these things when there's chances to be on public record, to stand up and tell you the politicians how you feel and you think. So people in Chatham, and call a friend if you hadn't known about it. Call a couple of friends and get right down to that courthouse. You'll be so glad you did. There's nothing worse than sitting in your living room, which a lot of people do, gnashing their teeth and very upset about, like Tana was saying, paroxysms of anger and paranoia, and stomping up and down and, you know, ready to blow up your TV. But if you start doing something, whether it's a phone call or a letter, a joining will for, you know, Food and Water Watch or any wonderful organization, the NAACP, when you start doing even a little bit, you feel so much better because you know that you're part of something where your voice has at least it's magnified because it's there with other voices and you get a chance of being heard, and it is worth it. It's the best thing I ever did when I retired was join the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom and then the NAACP. You know, you meet the best people. You meet the best people. And you don't have to have these stupid arguments trying to convince somebody who's a conservative Republican. You can have your voice amplified. But I want to make another very important announcement for many of our friends. Balance and Accuracy in Journalism, BASH, which usually meets the second Wednesday of the month, is not meeting tonight. This is for those who haven't, and check your email, but it's going to be next week, the third Wednesday, at 7:30 at the community church, because there's a very special person is in town for a few weeks. One of our dear friends, Rania Masri. Rania Masri is Middle Eastern. She's been teaching, I think, in Beirut, last I heard, but she has family in Raleigh, so we're so blessed to at least once a year, so she comes to visit family, and Jerry gets hold of her, and we get from on the ground eyewitness report from someone who is there, what is happening, get an update on.
Yeah, I'm looking forward because her analyses are always really, you know, incisive.
She's very insightful. Yes. She's brilliant, a very good communicator, excellent articulation. You'll just learn so much. She's so smart. And on the platform with her is going to be an old friend of ours, Jean-Louis Dillahunt, who is African-American and was with the Postal Union and is retired. And his son of the same name, Jean-Louis Dillahunt, is going to be entering North Carolina Central as a freshman, I believe. And he is going to be on the platform the same night with Rania Masri. So this is going to be a terrific program.
And they're going to be here, right?
No, they're not going to be here. They're not going to be here. They're going to be at BASH. And then afterwards, we're going to arrange with Jerry that they will have an audio, and we'll be able, at some subsequent show in the near future, we will be playing on this radio show. What we are going to have on our radio show next week is also very exciting, and you might want to catch us. Ed King's son, Will King,
is back from China.
He's been in China about 4 years. He's back for his mother's wedding, who's my oldest friend, Alice Carlton, from back in the 70s. And she is getting remarried. And so Will is going to be in town from China. And he's brought his girlfriend with him, who is a professor in China. I'm not sure of what. But Ed has promised us Will. So we'll have, we'll also get from an eyewitness what it's like living in China. He's been there 4 years in different places. He was teaching, and now he's working for some business. And so that's going to be an exciting program. So you listen to us, have some supper. You have time to have supper. We finish at 6 and toddle on over to the community church at 7:30 and catch Rania Masri and Ajahn Mudjila Hunt.
Definitely okay, will.
I want to get back to our guest, who's Tana Hartman. And Tana, I've had feedback. I don't say our guest name often enough, so I'm going to try to keep saying Tana.
Oh, okay. Tana. I need to say Tana Hartman Thorne. My husband feels, you know, very unhappy if I forget that I took. Yeah, we Pete and I have been together for nearly 20 years.
Yes.
But we got married just 3-4 years ago.
Now you're adding his name. It's been a long process, but it's
right. I'm slow with something.
Well, Pete, I bet it's tickle pig. Okay. So Tana Hartman Thorne. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
And
we're talking about the TPP.
The Trans-Pacific Partnership.
And it's enough to scare the willies off you, but we also have some good news or hopeful news.
Well, New Zealand recently declared.
Hold on a minute.
Uh-oh.
We've got Ed King on the phone.
Oh, okay. Hello,
so
Ed King.
Hold on, Ed. I'll see if I can get you on the air.
Ed?
Hello?
Hey, Ed King.
Hi, Ed.
I'm now known as Will King.
Hey, Ed King.
Hi, Ed.
I'm now known as Will King.
I don't know if it's going to work, Dick.
Is your radio on nearby?
Can you
turn it off?
What I was calling in about was the article in the Triangle Free Press in July by Mike Whitney called The Skirmish in the Spratlys. And it puts the TPP in the context, in perspective with the Chinese ascendancy in trade and in military also in the Asian Pacific. Seems as though China is going to rebuild the Silk Road, you know, into Germany, as well as a maritime trade route around the Indian Ocean to South Africa and so forth. And this is why the United States is so intent on signing this TPP to counter it. So there's several reasons why Obama is trying to push this, the multinationals, as Tana has done such a good job of explaining, are behind the TPP, but the strategic part of China, competition with China and Asian Pacific is also a real important issue.
It is an important issue. You're absolutely right. Ed, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to ask you, tell us again, where did you read this? What was it, Skirmish in the, and tell us what the source
Skirmish
is.
Skirmish in the Spratlys. The Spratlys are those islands that are down in the South China Sea, you know, where they're building Air Force bases. China is building Air Force bases out of the rocks coming out of the water in the islands. And the water out down there in the United States is afraid it's going to disrupt their ability to send ships in the area. And so it's quite a competition, not only trade-wise, but also militarily, because the United States.
Ed, let me just interrupt you again and ask you: give us the source of this. Where can people go to find it?
Okay, this originally was printed in Counterpunch on June 8th, 2015. But it's been reprinted in the Triangle Free Press here locally. Okay. In the July edition, and Mike Whitney is the name of the author, and it's entitled The Skirmish in the Spratlys. It is a fantastic article. I would say, you know,
we'll
we were talking about
look at it.
But basically, what they're trying to do is to set up a competition with the International Monetary IMF.
Yeah.
As and also and they've got this group BRICS, which is another development bank that Brazil and Russia, India, China, and South Africa. 76% of the world's population are a member of it, and they're trying to compete with the World Bank and the IMF to take over.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Works fine.
I can't hear him, though.
Oh, you can't hear him.
No.
Okay, I'm going to give you my ear headphones.
That must just not be plugged in.
Anyway.
Ed, we were having some difficulties. I couldn't hear you, and I thought that, and it's not coming out on the video camera. It's not coming in on the video. So I want to keep this a little short, and maybe you can talk about it next week again. Somehow
great.
We don't have something plugged in. So we were videoing this show, and it's not coming through on the camera, and it was having difficulty coming through on my stuff, okay?
It's probably being hacked.
It's probably being hacked by those corporations we've been dissing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Keep it going. You're doing a great job.
We'll keep it going, and next week you'll be here with Will, and you can tell us more about it then, okay?
Okay, Will and ZZ.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Ed. Bye-bye.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so we'll get back to our regular stuff. Can you get it into the camera now? Now we're okay? Okay.
We all, I think they can just cut that part.
We'll just cut that part.
Y'all do the editing. Okay.
We'll have to.
Yes. I found some updated figures that the investor state system is already, it's been part of a number of the U.S. trade deals.
Yeah.
And it has forced taxpayers to hand over more than $440 million to corporations for toxic bans, land use rules, regulatory permits, water and timber policies. And a tribunal recently ordered payment of more than $2 billion to a multinational oil firm. And under U.S. deals, just U.S. deals, more than $34 billion remains pending in corporate claims against medicine patent policies.
That's the other thing.
Pollution cleanup requirements, climate and energy laws, and other public interest policies.
So this has been going on. It's going to get a lot worse. I think some people have called this one of first started hearing about the TPP that it was NAFTA on steroids.
Right.
Now, things of hope is that some of these nations, as more information has gotten out, and you started to mention about New Zealand.
New Zealand has declared that it will not approve any agreement that allows corporations to sue its government to overturn public interest policies or legislation, that it will not allow corporations to come in and overturn the public interest policies.
Great. And I heard that some other countries were balking. I'm not sure what that means or how serious it is, or whether it's just a strategy, a negotiating strategy. But I just do want to remind our listeners and ourselves, this has not passed yet. The president got fast track, which meant that he could go and negotiate and could come back with the deal, and then it would be an up or down vote with Congress. So the deal has not been signed yet, and that is another ray of hope. It's been postponed to November, where we thought it was going to come crashing on us momentarily. And so the more that these, I think as the word gets out in our country, as people get to, as complicated as it seems, to hear about that investor state, that one part of it even, you just think, oh my gosh, this can't be. And I think in other countries, too, as citizens get to hear more about it, and WikiLeaks is helping to because all of this is supposed to be kept secret. Even our congressmen yes. are not supposed to know what's in this. But thank God there have been leaks. And WikiLeaks and Public Citizen has got hold of some of it. And
there's been some very good analysis. And
yes.
I would emphasize that even if the Economist magazine, which is the consummate capitalist corporate magazine, my ex-husband trained as an economist at MIT, and he read for, I don't know, must be 50 years now, The Economist almost daily, and it's a very well respected in the big business community, but you cannot always
count
on what it's saying. You have to remember it's coming from the perspective of those whose interests are here being.
And they're thinking it won't
pass, right? And they're saying it's dead, but it.
But they may be trying to lull us.
But we. It could come back, and even if the TPP in this iteration is done, there will be others.
Yes.
There's the TTIP and the TISA that are coming along behind it. The issue is not dead, because there really is a movement among corporations to create for themselves a global standard that they control. For it, so that their profits become paramount.
So, what is it? Eternal vigilance is
yes.
what you have to do if you want liberty. So, you know, but this.
I spoke with a CWA worker today,
yes.
Angie Wells, who works for North Carolina, and asked her about her opinion about this. You know, will this? And she said she would never say to stop working on it.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. I promised I would make a mention of the TPP working group. That is a group that formed actually in Durham with the encouragement and leadership of Professor Don Nonini, an anthropologist here at UNC, and Harry Phillips, a local environmental activist.
And a WILF member.
And a WILF member, and myself, and Scott Weir, a local professor of economics. And it is, we are looking at this, and we're planning events, so you need to talk about it. And Dick is planning to join up. Yes,
Miriam.
I encourage it.
And
Miriam Thompson, whom I had on my show last week, Miriam is dynamite. She is an incredible organizer with an amazing history and energy you would not believe. But she's
amazing.
Yeah,
she's
wonderful.
been on our show. She's a
right.
WILF member also. So
yes.
WILF is always, I feel, in the forefront of all these different issues that come up. We always have somebody there.
Yes.
And I think, Emily, you've gone to a meeting. We'll probably go to more. And so, Tana, it's been great having you on. You were so well, you know, organized and well-versed in of all this minutiae.
Oh, from your lips to God's ears.
Well, you know, I'm looking at this whole big, an inch pile of working papers there with all kinds of information. And I always know if I would need some, not just the gist of it, not just the main idea of it, but if I want to know some of the detail, because a lot of times the devil is in the detail of these things.
Mm-hmm.
I know that Ton is one of the resources I can go and call, and I'm so glad that you came to our show. And Tana was one of the original ones from this show.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love it. This is great. I try to mention the WILF show on mine, too.
Yeah.
This is a wonderful resource for learning about what's going on.
You know,
music and entertainment are great, but we need public information, public services like this.
Yes, well, and your show's a lot of it, mostly information. That's what our show is, too. And so is there anything? No, we still have a little bit of time. We mentioned Public Citizen. Let's give that, what is it there? If you go to Public Citizen, you go to their,
You can just go to globaltradewatch.org.
Oh, Global Trade Watch. Thank you.
You can also go to www.citizen.org, but and then you can search for Global Trade Watch. But if you just Google Global Trade Watch.
Global Trade Watch, and that is Lori Wallach, I think.
Lori Wallach is the director.
She's the director, and I've heard her, I think, on your show. I've heard her on in the morning after Amy, this some Pacifica shows, and she is tops in terms
She's
of
a Harvard-trained lawyer mm-hmm. and extremely knowledgeable, has been looking at this stuff ever since she got out of law school mm-hmm. and had the opportunity and chose not to go work, you know, in corporate law, but to actually do public interest law. Mm-hmm. And we are very fortunate to have her because yeah. she's...
And she was here maybe
September
year and
of 2013. Yeah,
okay.
It's almost
two years.
I think it's
almost
2 years ago.
So it's time right. for us to get her back. Huh?
Yeah.
Well, and so this radio station, besides our show and Tana's show, I just want to remind our listeners that every morning you can get Amy Goodman at 8 o'clock. And she is one of the best journalists, and she is not Republican or Democrat. She is for the people, and you will get straight news, you know, non-denominational, yeah. nonpartisan. Right. But what's actually happening, and what she, whenever she can, she gets a person who's directly involved, not right. just what people say about it, mm-hmm. but she goes to the source. Most of the time, as much as she can. Right now, she's in Vienna at the Art Biennale, and she's had some marvelous shows. But in the mornings, on Monday, Tuesday, and I'm not sure about Wednesday, Amy's on from 8 to 9 o'clock. After Amy's show, a lot of times there is sometimes a Pacifica show on either Monday or Tuesday. I'm not sure. But they have... and I forget his name, but he's been on forever, one of these. So this radio station carries a lot of good programs that give you the kind of information you're not going to get in the mainstream. But also right after our show, and Dick keeps getting that out there, in terms of our state news, is the Chris Fitzsimon show.
Yeah, the
right at 6 o'clock from 6 to 6:30. So if you stay tuned after our show is over, you can get the latest of what's happening
yes.
in the state.
It's called News and Views.
News and Views.
And it's Chris Fitzsimon, mm-hmm. who's executive director of North Carolina Policy Watch.
Yes. So,
which
so
is a great organization.
So there's no excuse not to get really first-rate information, and that's what we need in order to make the best decisions, but also to get involved. And once you start hearing this stuff, you can't just storm up and down your living room sputtering and blowing a gasket.
The answer to the question of when is alternative radio?
Yeah,
on?
When is that on?
That's on Tuesdays, 9 o'clock, right after Amy.
Right after Amy on Tuesdays.
And don't forget that Amy is called, her formal name of her show is Democracy Now.
Democracy Now, and it certainly
and
is.
That's what she's all about.
That's what she is all about. And this
some people may not know it, but a couple of decades ago there was a massacre in East Timor.
Yes.
And she was there covering it with another reporter, Alan Nairn. And that was before there was Democracy Now, but she was covering that.
And he was injured in that, wasn't he?
Yes,
they were hiding down, trying to avoid bullets. I mean, they were right in the, you know, middle of things. It was really, and she has some good footage of that. And Alan Nairn's been on her program. But
she was the one who went to...
she's so brave.
Yeah, she'll go right into the center of it and find someone who's, you know,
yes.
others can't be bothered to find or don't want to find.
I'll go right up to the police and try to get them engaged, you know, when they're misbehaving, shall we say, or overreacting in a protest. Mm-hmm. And, she's terrific. So, Tana Hartman, again, I'm going to say your name so
yes.
we can, yeah. Tana Hartman has been on our show. Tana Hartman is a long-term activist, and has been involved in many issues. She was helped start this program initially. I used to have Ed King's job getting the guests lined up and then substituting, and then Tana was still working, so she took a break, and I moved in as quick as I could.
Yes. Yeah. I'm really glad that this show keeps going.
This is our seventh year, I think, Dick.
Is it that long?
Yep.
Oh,
Dick,
man,
looked it
cool.
up. Yeah.
Yeah, I went and looked it up, and it was started in April, 7 years ago.
We're hoping to get on this radio show, to get it on the People's Channel. We're going to be meeting over there on Friday, Emily and Dick and I, and talking to Jeremy, and see if we can't. Then that will amplify, like if you're on here, that's why we're doing the video camera.
No, that would be great, and Jeremy is a wonderful person to help because he will... help you get it on there.
Yeah, he said he really wants to get us going as soon as he can. So
that's another great community media resource is the People's Channel.
Yes, right. Yes. When we're talking about how to get information that you're not going to get on your regular media, you get some stuff on PBS. At least it's intelligent, and you get some stuff, but they have an overabundance of government people speaking for the government instead of people who's trying to show what the government is doing. At least it's intelligent, but you can't rely even on, a lot of people think, I watch PBS, that's fine. No, you won't get a lot of information that you need. It's insufficient.
Yes.
Insufficient.
That's a good way to put it.
Yes. So we're coming towards the end. I think we could just play some music. And we'll be on next week with Ed King's son, Will King, just here for a few weeks from China. And we're going to be and bringing his girlfriend, who is a Chinese professor. We'll find out more about it. And it sounded like Ed had a lot of really interesting information linking our country's push for the TPP with our fear of China.
I look forward to hearing that.
Yes.
More about that.
Yeah. I'm sorry that we were having some technical difficulties. But, hey, guys, we're volunteer. We don't always have the best equipment. So, okay, we'll say goodbye. We'll be here next week, 5 o'clock. The WILP, and do we say about how to get in touch with WILP, Dick?
Probably not. We can do that.
Yeah, we should do that.
Women's International League for Peace and Figure. And the website is trianglewilpf.org.
And I'm Lori Hoyt. I've got my name in there. Dick Paddock, Emily O'Hare's doing the camera, and our guest has been Tana Hartman. And WILP is we're going to be having our 80th birthday locally this year and our 100th birthday internationally. Jane Addams started this in 1915. So be prepared for a big party.
Absolutely.
Yeah, in November. November 8th, I think, we're going to have a blowout. Yeah.
Good. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, mark your calendar. A little music, please.
But I'm open to persuasion. East or west, west or bend, for romancing with a friend, I can smile. But with a lover, I can hold my head back. I can really laugh. I'm really
I may live more, but I should listen to those that I can. With friends I still feel so insecure. Little darling, I believe